other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, May 28th. It's
good
almost
morning.
The end of the month, Charlotte.
I know.
Wow, we say that almost every day.
It's
because it seems like...
Yeah, seriously, it's a countdown. It's almost halfway through the year.
It is, huh?
May, June, yeah,
that's
the end
true.
Of June.
That's true, yeah,
is...
the end of June will be six yeah. months into the year. Wow.
Crazy.
I know. I mean, there I was looking forward to my birthday. Now it's long gone.
I know. 2014 is flying.
Yes, it really is, you know. And I don't get it. I don't know if it's because we're getting older or what, you know. It just seems like when you get older, as you get older, the years are going by faster, you know.
Definitely.
And I think it's because, I mean, my theory is because a year's time becomes a smaller fraction of your life. So... You know what I'm saying? I mean, when you're 10 years old, 1 year is like a tenth of your life.
Completely.
You know? Mm-hmm. But when you're my age, it's like 150th. So it's like, okay, so
it's
a year is
much.
Not, yeah. A year doesn't feel as long, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're little, I feel like you have kind of more to look forward to.
Yeah. Yes.
When you get older, it's like same old.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, yeah. So, you know, I mean... That's how it works, mm-hmm. and the years are going by fast, I guess.
It's definitely flying by.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
And when it gets to summer, it kind of then just flies by even quicker, because then you have a countdown almost. It's like Thanksgiving, Christmas, like
right.
everything goes so quickly.
I know, a lot of things to look forward to.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Football starts again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true, I'm looking forward to that. Maybe I'll get into it this season,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Get familiar with the players and everything.
I know. I'm hoping to go back to Florida for a game, but
really?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You mean for a college game?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a Florida State
yeah.
game.
I've never been into college football because there's just too much going on there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is big enough, I think, to keep you busy,
yeah.
you know?
That's definitely true.
But I know some people love college football, you know? They really love it.
Yeah, it's mainly because I went to Florida State and they won this past year.
Right, okay, so you can
but
relate.
But I don't know. I like the atmosphere at games, and all my friends are having like a reunion at one of the games.
Yeah.
It'd be really sad if I can't go.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, if you know some of the players personally and stuff,
yeah.
you know, or you know of them and you've seen them in school, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can kind of relate
but
to it.
We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, well, in a few minutes, we're going to have an author calling in. His name is Greg Iles, and he's written some several bestsellers. I think even number one bestsellers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So he's written a book, pretty big book. Everybody that's seen it so far goes, wow, you know. That's
mm-hmm,
about
I'm excited.
It's
yeah.
700 and some pages, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes
definitely
big books
a thick
are worth
book.
It. Yeah.
It reminds me of the Harry Potter books. I remember
yeah.
when I was younger, and my mom got me the first one, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's
know,
such
huge.
A big book.
Right. So did you ever finish it and reading other ones?
I never read any of them.
No, huh?
No.
Yeah, I know.
No.
I know. I started the first one and until it started getting too weird, and then I thought, okay. You
yeah,
know.
I've never been a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
It's just not...
See, in the beginning, it was like, you know, it was like a normal story.
Right.
You know, of him living with his family, and they didn't treat him well and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, and then they got all the wizard stuff.
And... Right, exactly. And then suddenly it just got really weird, you know?
Mm-hmm. And Lord of the Rings, I'm not a big fan of that either.
Yeah, I know.
Or what's... And I don't really...
All the fantasy stuff.
Yeah, I'm not a big fantasy person.
Right,
I
know.
And, like, I love... My favorite genre is horror. I love horror.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I like horror that could be realistic.
Right.
Not horror where...
Yeah, like monsters or zombies
yeah,
and things like that.
I hate zombies.
Do you?
Yes.
Why?
It's like, what's the point of zombie?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I've never got into The Walking Dead and any of those TV shows.
I know, vampires the same way, right?
Yeah.
I know. I don't get into vampires and I don't get people to do because I don't see the attraction in it. But some people do.
Some people love... I mean, Walking Dead is such a popular show.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think some people... Because I've asked people before, I think maybe they're fascinated with living forever and things like that. You know?
I think it's the idea of, are they real? I think some people really do kind of think that something strange goes on, like the paranormal. When we had Sheena here, and she has the show, the paranormal show. Like people, some people don't believe it, some people do.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just what you believe.
Yeah.
I mean, vampires aren't real. But you never know. Some people probably think they are.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe somebody's seen one. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the movies, that's where they've seen it. But yeah, but people have made a lot of money writing, vampire books and movies and stuff like that. You know that one of the more famous authors is Anne Rice, and she's written, like, she wrote Conversation with a Vampire and, you know, some of those more famous books. So...
And there's the TV show Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I remember that from when I was younger.
Right.
I never watched it, but I remember that one.
I know, yeah. That was good. That was based on a movie, actually. There was a movie.
Really?
Yeah. With Christy Swanson, I guess. And then they made a TV series out of it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But with Anne Rice, the reason I brought her up because I guess a long time ago when she was like on one of the shows, she called in and I befriended her on Facebook. The amazing thing about her, and she keeps on amazing me, it's like she'll write any post at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what she writes. 15 minutes later, you have 2,000 likes and 800 comments, you know? It's like, so then I looked and she does have like about 1 million followers on Facebook.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that is
a lot.
So, I mean, you know, so many times we write posts, we don't get even a single like. Mm-hmm. And all she has to do is just squeak and she gets 5,000.
It's funny because when you... I mean, she has like 1 million followers, an author, great, I don't know, just person. And then I looked at Kim Kardashian's Instagram today. She has 14 million followers.
Wow.
She posted a photo of her and Kanye. They got married this past weekend in France. Right. And she got over 1 million likes.
Wow.
And it's just like, how are you famous?
Yeah.
From a sex tape.
Right.
And I just find it... The entertainment industry is so weird.
Yeah. I guess people have become fascinated with the whole family, not just
completely.
With Kim.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are just like attracted to that.
It is. It's all people just want to know what they're doing. And then Khloe married Lamar Odom from the Lakers. And then he went off the rails. So it's all just...
And the mother married Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. And now they're divorced. And okay. It's all...
Yeah. So people love that stuff.
But I feel like they have to keep their lives dramatic for people to stay interested. And that's just so much effort to keep your life that dramatic where people want to watch you. Like, people would probably be bored with my life. Like, I live a very simple life when I'm not working. It's like, that's totally okay with me.
Yeah, you see, that's why people like him, because they don't work.
Yeah.
You know, they do other things.
Yeah, right.
We're like fascinated by it.
It's true.
But I don't get him at all. I mean, neither one of them is likable, Kanye West or her, you know? They're not really likable. You know, people criticize him for being narcissistic and selfish and things like that. You know, I don't know him. I don't even know about him. You know, I mean, I don't even know one song that he's written or sings.
Yeah, I don't really know one either.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just don't care for him or her. But you can't deny the fact that people can capture people's imagination in a way that they probably didn't even plan.
Right. And her wedding. It was just like a walls of roses.
Really?
I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
It's just so fascinating. That is fascinating.
Yeah.
That people are just like, wow.
And they'll spend that kind of money on the wedding, you know, only to be divorced 6 months later, right?
No, the first one was 72 days.
Yeah. I know, what the hell
is that? How depressing is that? And this is her third marriage.
Really?
She got married when she was, I think she was like... 21.
Wow.
Yeah, when she first got married.
Wow, what's her rush?
Divorced after a couple of years, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, you know, she's not doing very well in marriages. I don't know that I would spend that kind of money.
No, third time lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
I think she likes dressing up, and she looked very beautiful.
Right.
Very beautiful.
Now, the when she married the previous guy, was that the basketball player or something?
Chris
right.
Humphrey.
Right. Now, that was a big wedding, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, really beautiful as well.
Yeah. And they probably had to pay for this for the rest of their lives.
And then, and then after 72 days. After 72 days, what I don't understand is you knew before you got married that you didn't want to marry them if after 72 days you're done.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. I don't know what was going on behind, you know, in her head and
doors,
stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But, or, yeah, what was going on in her head? Like, what, if she planned on it, if she didn't plan it?
Yeah.
What was going on, you know? I don't get it. But I don't know why she would have done it if she didn't think it was going to work. I don't know what she got out of it. Maybe the publicity.
Maybe she didn't want the public humiliation of, but I don't know what's worse. Because then there was all the people were saying, oh, I do this longer than Kim Kardashian gets married, and I do this longer than Kim Kardashian was married. So I think the humiliation was probably worse.
Yeah, it is. It is. Wow. I know. People make fun of it.
Yeah, they really do. But, I mean, I guess she's happy now. She has a cute kid.
Oh, she does have a
really
kid?
Really beautiful, yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. With Kanye?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why they got married kind of fast.
Probably, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that Northwest kid. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, now I remember the name.
Northwest.
Yeah.
Again, is that publicity or did they really want to name their daughter North?
I think
the nickname's Nori, which is kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
But Northwest. I mean, that kid's going to get bullied.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like in this day and age, you can't name a kid Northwest.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but they it seems like most of the celebrities do that. You know, they name their kids.
Apple.
Yeah.
And
the really weird ones, you know, like Frank Zappa's kids, Moon Unit. And that was his daughter's name, Moon Unit. And
I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah. And her brother's name, what was that? Dweezil, I think. Dweezil Zappa. Yeah. Why would you give kids names like that?
I don't know.
Because you're weird anyway, you know? And yeah, he was very weird, Frank Zappa.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah. So Maya Angelou died.
I know.
You know who she is?
I do.
I know. It's like, I don't know much about her, but she's a novelist, right? I guess she's an actress, also a singer, dancer, activist. I didn't realize all that.
Yeah.
I know that she's written a lot of inspiring things. A lot of people were inspired by her and stuff, you know.
Yeah, they were. All my Facebook, when I woke up, I was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone had posted about it.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, here's our guest calling. So let's go ahead and get this. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Charlotte. Is this Greg? Hello? Are you with us?
This is the radio tour producer.
Yes. Are you calling for...
Yes.
Okay.
We are calling to get Greg Isles connected to you.
Thank you.
So one moment, please.
Very good. Okay, he's probably very busy. The book, I think, just came out, so he's probably doing a lot of interviews. Yeah. I know, books are cool, you know. I mean, I think I want to write a book once.
I think you should, Sam.
Yeah. I know, I mean, I love to write and stuff, but I don't know that I could sit through a whole book. I just don't have the patience, you know. I want to see something done already,
right.
So I do it quickly, you know.
Yeah.
And, I don't waste time.
But, take a whole week. Yeah. Just all you do is write.
Right.
The good thing is you probably won't go to bed till you had it written.
Yeah, I know. But wait, they come up with all these ideas. That's the amazing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're waiting on Greg Isles. And I wonder.
I'm here, Sam.
Oh, Greg, hi. How are you? We've been waiting for you.
Sorry about that. They just brought me in. Glad to be here.
We have Greg Isles on the line. Thank you very much for calling in, Greg. I imagine you're pretty busy with all the tours and the interviews and everything. So
absolutely, and today there's like Hollywood stuff going on, so it's a big day.
Oh wow, very nice. Must be exciting for you.
I know
when you publish a book, it's like a new baby in the family, and because you work so hard on it, and you wait for it to come out, you know.
And this is a very big baby. If you've got it on your desk,
I do. It's a big tome, and the book is Natchez Burning, right? And
right, that's it.
Now, I understand you're from Mississippi. Is this where you're calling us from now?
Absolutely, yeah. Just got back from a month-long book tour and happy to be home.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I bet.
So now, so I did up some reading, and Natchez, it's a county, and you live there?
Yeah, Natchez is really the oldest city on the entire Mississippi River, and it's very unique in Mississippi because it was the king of the cotton empire in the 19th century. So it's a lot like a small New Orleans, really.
Oh, wow.
Wow, very cool.
And you've lived there all your life?
Lived there since I was 4 years old. Yeah, I was born in Germany when my dad was an Army doctor. But, yeah, I've lived in the South in Natchez all my life.
Oh, wow, wow. And so how long have you been riding now? All your life, would you say?
No, well, it was always something I was good at, but I was a musician before I was a writer, and I really only took up writing novels when it was a choice between that and getting a real job.
So yeah.
Back in 1993, about the time John Grisham wrote The Firm, I wrote and published my first novel, and I was lucky enough that it became a bestseller, and I never looked back.
Wow, how cool that is. What was your first novel?
My first novel was called Spandau Phoenix, and it was about an unsolved case about a Nazi war criminal from World War II. My first two novels really dealt with that because, quite honestly, I made an effort in the beginning. I really wanted to succeed financially so I could have a career, so I wrote some very commercial novels, and I only turned to writing about the South, or write what you know, the old cliche. I really only did that with my third novel, and since then, almost all my novels have been set in the South.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's the thing is, I remember Spandau Phoenix. That was some time ago, probably, what, like 20 years ago?
Yeah, exactly 20 years ago.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow. I'm the old man in the business now.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, I didn't know of you back then. You know, it was, like you said, your first, second book, and but I remember it because I loved the genre so much of you know, of World War II thrillers and things like that, you know.
Well, I'll tell you a great moment I had when Natchez Burning was about to come out. You know, I'm on Twitter and I clicked the little at button, and guess whose picture popped up? Ken Follett, who wrote Eye of the Needle, remember?
Yes, of course.
And Ken Follett tweeted that Natchez Burning was the best thriller written in years. And I mean,
wow.
I just started shaking because I remembered, you know, the old days when I read Eye of the Needle and Pillars of the Earth and stuff. So
right.
You get some great moments like that.
That's true. And he also went from these World War II and World War I books to more like dramas and things like that, you know, Pillars of the Earth and all these. And he's got a trilogy now. So I understand this is the first one of three, right?
That's right. You know, it started out to be one, and while I was coming to the end of that book, I pulled onto Highway 61 in Mississippi, you know, from the Bob Dylan title, Highway 61 Revisited,
mm-hmm.
and a truck hit my driver's door going 70.
Oh, my God.
Took my leg off, tore my aorta, broke 20-something bones. And, you know, I play in a band with Stephen King, and, you know, he went through something like that when he was hit by a van in 1999, and
yes.
It's a really transformative experience. I mean, when you come out of a coma after 8 days, you're not the same person, and you don't look at your books the same anymore, and you really have to start over. So it's really been a journey for me.
Wow, that's amazing. What a story. What a story.
When you say start over, how did you feel? Did you have to kind of read back through the book that you'd written and then expand on what everything you wanted to now say?
It was really that I was dealing with some very important themes, which were family, the South, racism, civil rights, and I was not doing them justice because I was making concessions to the genre. I mean, my previous book had been number one nationally, and that's, you know, that's where most writers want to be.
Right.
But I was not happy because these serious themes just couldn't be dealt with adequately in that limited format. And when I started back over and went through, I realized this story is way bigger than the box that's allowed. And so I decided, you know, it's like when something like that happens to you, it's like fate taps you on the shoulder and says, you know what? You don't have an infinite number of books left to write. If you have something to say, you better say it.
Yeah.
And that's when I just threw out the rule book. I expanded it to three novels, and I wound up with a new agent, a new publisher, but it's been the best thing that I ever did.
Whoa,
wow.
Congratulations
yeah.
on that. So now, this is a pretty big book. How long does it take to write something like this?
I'll tell you something pretty scary, okay? In the 3 years since I was almost killed, I've written all three books of the trilogy, so that'd be the equivalent of about 9 conventional thrillers, say like a Michael Connelly length novel. Okay,
right.
So in 3 years, it's a pretty massive output.
Yeah.
And the great thing is that when I was writing it, I really thought it was far too long to ever be brought to the screen. I just gave up any hope of that. But with the success of shows like True Detective and Game of Thrones, suddenly the Hollywood interest in it is just massive, and I've just been stunned by it, and we're definitely going to see this brought to the screen, probably in an HBO-type series.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's how they do it. When they have, like, long pieces, they make a series out of it. And I would imagine, it is the equivalent of 9 books. Mm-hmm. You know, that's amazing. So, obviously, the accident didn't really slow you down at all.
Look, you know what happens? We go through life denying our mortality. We deny how fragile life is. When something like that happens to you, it forces you to confront how short life is. And if anything, it speeds you up, you know, and it makes you realize you got to live every moment. It sounds like a cliche, but it's absolutely true.
Right. So tell us briefly, I mean, obviously this is a big, complex story and everything, and an epic, but tell us briefly what the story revolves around so we get an idea.
2 things. It's pretty simple. The backdrop is based on some real-life civil rights murders that occurred in the 60s, and they're presented unflinchingly in graphic detail. Some of that can be hard to take. The foreground story, reviewers have said 2 things. One said this is William Faulkner for the Breaking Bad generation.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else said, imagine Jim Finch grew up to learn things about Atticus Finch no son should ever know about his father. So what you have is the story of the disillusionment of a child. That's something we all go through. You know, we start by worshiping our parents, and then we eventually learn they're human. But that's played out against the backdrop of America in the 1960s and then post-Katrina. So it's an epic, but it's easy to relate to.
Right. And a book like this, I mean, obviously, you know, you didn't live during some of those times in the book and stuff, right? I mean, this starts at what point?
Well, I can tell you this, okay?
Uh-huh.
The biggest Ku Klux Klan meeting ever held in America was held 1 mile from my house. When I was a boy,
wow.
My father walked me down the street to take pictures of it. I remember the men, women, and children and horses wearing those robes and Klan regalia. It's one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
Wow.
So I was born in 1960, so believe it or not, I have quite a few memories of the Jim Crow time.
Yeah.
And they informed the book.
Wow. Well, congratulations, because we were born the same year, you know, so we have some...
Well, hey, that's good to meet a brother like that. There we go.
Well, cool. So when can we expect... this one, I imagine, just came out, right?
Yeah, it's been out for about a month, that's right.
Awesome. And it's probably going to hit the top of the bestseller list if your previous books are any indication, right?
Well, it debuted at number 2, and it's still in the top 5, so it's doing well, yeah.
Wow, to debut at number 2, you've got quite a reputation, and I guess it takes a lot of hard work to get to that point, you know. I mean, there's so many books written, they don't even hit the bestseller list at all.
Right.
And, you know, here you come in with number 2. That's pretty impressive. So now, when can we expect the other 2 to come out?
They should come out basically 1 year to the day from the first one, and the third one will come out 1 year to the day after the second. I wish, in all honesty, I wish we could have put them all out at once and people could just binge read, but that's not the way the publishing business is set up.
I know. Yeah, I know. As great as a book is, I don't know that you can sit through like 3,000 pages, you know, in one.
Yeah, you need my, and you know, my goal here, the trick was, how do you end the book when you know you can't reveal the mystery because it's a trilogy? Mm-hmm. How do you end without people being angry? And I figured out the answer was to leave them so emotionally wrung out that they needed a break when they got to the last.
Was that a hard thing to kind of conquer, the ending? Because I have been to the movie theater when I just have to see the next movie right then. And you want that when people are reading your books, like they have to read, they want the next one. Was the ending kind of the toughest part to write?
It absolutely was. You know, sometimes people will say, is it hard to maintain suspense for 800 pages and all that stuff? No, that's easy to do. The hard thing is to satisfy people emotionally, intellectually, and have them feel that it was worth the time they spent and still want to go forward. And as you know, as a movie fan, so many times writers paint themselves into a corner they can never get out of, mm-hmm. and people leave angry at the ending.
Yeah.
And judging by the response, I think I've been successful. I hope so, anyway.
Wonderful. Have you had, like, a movie treatment or TV for any of your books yet, or would this be different?
Yeah, my fifth novel, 24 Hours, was made into a movie with Charlize Theron and Kevin Bacon. It was called Trapped. I wasn't necessarily happy with the way it came out, but I was on the movie, and I learned a lot about making movies, and I enjoyed working with the actors.
Wonderful.
That's exciting. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. Greg, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning. Greg Iles, and the book is Natchez Burning, and it's out in stores now. And yeah, I definitely recommend. I mean, I just looked through it, and because I only got it last night, you know, and I looked through it and stuff. But I love reading, and I can totally see myself immersing myself into this. So, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us this morning. And of course,
I enjoyed being with you guys. Let's do it next year when the volume 2 comes out.
Sounds great. We'll be here. Thank you so much, Greg. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. Wow. See, and that's the thing is that many, many times these famous authors that I really want to talk to, they turn out to be like the nicest people,
right.
You know, and it's it helps. You know, it helps an interview with.
It really does, and it kind of just lets the fans know that
right.
they're just regular, normal people and
right.
they're nice people and they've worked hard to do this.
I know.
Because sometimes you just pick up a book and forget who wrote it or think that they just wrote it in 10 days or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But he's taken all this time and he's written a lot of books.
Yeah.
He's dedicated his life to writing.
Yeah, I know.
Writing that.
And it's the same with music, you know? Sometimes people will tell you, oh, I wrote this song in 10 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
you think it, like, took them forever.
Right.
But that's creative stuff, you know?
Definitely.
And when I do, like, design stuff and that, I also, like, pretty much get, like, a vision of what I want, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then just do it.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as much as I love reading, and I've read a lot in my life, I don't think I can write a novel. Because, well, I guess you can learn how to do some of the things, you know. But, I mean, at this point...
And you can hire someone, can't you, to, like, edit it and...
Oh, no, it's not the editing so much. It's the story itself,
right.
you know. I mean, the editing is no problem. But the story itself, thinking of the story, conceiving it,
right.
Pacing it correctly, making sure it ends in a certain way, that's hard,
that's
you
true.
Know.
That's Very
hard.
True.
And some people are just natural storytellers, I think, you know.
Definitely.
Some people love to do that, you know. They'll sit with their grandkids and tell them stories and that. So I think some people are wired for that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, and I can write well, too, but... So, you know, when it's like nonfiction and things like that,
mm-hmm.
when I know what I want to say. But if it's fiction and it's a novel, I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't think I could do it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. And you're right, to come up with a story that people want to read.
Right.
Because, I mean, I could probably think of a story, but a story that people would be interested in, that's a whole nother thing.
Right. And to fill like 3,000
yeah.
pages with
yeah.
it. My God,
that's
you
a
know.
Big book.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this one's about 800, so I figured three of them. Yeah, about 2,500
yeah.
pages, you know?
Yeah.
That's a lot. But
mm-hmm.
you know what's a funny thing is when I look at my bookcase and there's like, dozens of books, maybe even hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because you think, what if they were all one book? I mean, that would have been like a...
Oh, my gosh.
That's how much I read, you know?
Wow.
And that's a lot, you know? I mean, when you see shelves upon shelves of books and
mm-hmm.
you know you've read each one of them,
it's
you
cool.
go, wow, you know? Yeah, when did I have time to read all this?
Yeah.
But I love books. And now, unfortunately, though... With the Kindle and stuff, you don't really have a record of your books anymore.
A hard book anymore.
Yeah.
I know, and it's kind of sad that the hardback book is going out, because that's
right.
cool. I've always thought it would be super cool to have like a library.
Right.
I don't really read, but that would be really cool to have a library, you know?
Yeah.
It looks so cool.
I know.
But you can't even, I probably wouldn't even be able to buy that many hardback books now unless I bought them offline.
Right.
There's not
yeah.
many bookstores around
exactly.
to go in and buy a book anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Apart from, I did see, when I was up north, a DVD store.
Oh, really?
And it was like two of them next to each other. They were connected, but I was like, oh, there's a DVD store. And I said, there's two next to each other, and then I realized they were connected.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was just one, but it was a huge DVD store.
Okay, so it's probably the ones where people trade in and get used ones and things like
maybe,
that, right?
Maybe, because I haven't seen a DVD store in so long.
Yeah, you see, those stores, you can't. It's hard to duplicate online, you know, because you have some things that are, well, it's a lot cheaper, and you get one of a kind, like, you know, somebody traded in some album that everybody forgot about or something, you know.
Yeah.
So that would be cool, and that's why I think, because there's a couple of those up here too on Ventura Boulevard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like one near near Van Nuys Boulevard here. So if you ever drive by, you'll see it. And I think one of them is called Amoeba. And then there's like another one or two. I don't know. So, yeah, so those exist. And, of course, there's two Barnes & Nobles left in the whole valley here.
Right.
And sometimes I just try to go there and buy a book, even though it's full price.
Yeah.
And I always get stuff at Amazon. But I want to be able to keep that store alive. Yeah. For whatever I can, you know, because I enjoy so much going to bookstores. And I remember, I mean, when my kids were young, I'd take them all the time. We'd spend like hours in there, you know. They would tell kids stories. They would read them stories and things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, you know, my kids turn out loving books, you know. I don't think it would be the same today if you don't have bookstores to go to.
For sure.
You know, how do you get them to fall in love with books? I don't know.
And into reading, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know, so you can get books online, but your work is harder to get them to like it, you know, because I think when you go to the bookstore, they're like, they're...
It's fascinating. Something different.
Yeah, and they like it because it's like a toy store. They have like all kinds of different things, all the characters they recognize and things like that. So, yeah, you know, so, yeah, unfortunately, with the bookstores, that's what happens. But, you know, I mean, I'm guilty of the Kindle as well, because sometimes I want to be able to read in the dark, and I have the Kindle Fire, so you can read in the dark. That's probably, like, my main reason, or sometimes if I want a book, like, right away or something, I will, you know, I will get it.
And, it's easy. It's convenient.
Yeah.
Very convenient. You know,
but it's a shame because the books you read, it's sort of like they go by the wayside. You don't remember them. You can't display them. People don't know, you know. So it sucks, you know.
Yeah. But 21st century.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Everything is like moving away from paper. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm, yeah. So, I mean, we can always collect all the stuff we have now for like the future, you know. Like I bought like a ton of old computer magazines from eBay and stuff, and I read them. It takes me back like 25 years,
oh,
you know.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's really nice. So I enjoy that, and I imagine I will save them. You know, I'm not going
to
throw them
away. That's something cool and to look back on when we have...
When things were totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because as hard as it is to imagine now how things will be different from this point on, you can imagine they'll be very different, just like they have been.
Completely.
And
I mean, I'm
fact,
picturing those droid
yeah,
drone
the drones
things
flying
across the
I know
the sky and delivering Amazon packages.
I know, man.
3 hours after I'd bought something. It's crazy.
I know, man. I know. It's scary. You know, you don't know what the future is going to hold. I mean, if it's going to be anything like the science fiction movies, we're in deep doo-doo.
Gosh, yeah.
You know?
We really are.
None of them are really picturing a good future.
No,
for
the
us.
Latest one I saw, I think I spoke about this, but it was like the cops were robots and they just shot you, just killed you.
Really?
And they were these huge robots. Huge
like the
robots.
Terminator?
And if, kind of, but if you did anything wrong, like jaywalking or something like that, it was like, boom.
Really?
You are dead.
You don't remember who the movie's with?
No, I don't. It was a big actor. I'll look it up later. And I'll
okay.
I'll
like
know
Tom
tomorrow.
Cruise or something? No, not, what was it
probably
called?
Probably a good, like, 5 months ago that I saw it. But I saw
was
it in the
it
movie
new?
Theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's relatively new.
Oh, wow.
But I just can't
I wonder
I'm not
what
good
movie
with movie
that
names.
Is. Yeah.
Especially because I wasn't really that interested in going to see it.
Yeah.
Those aren't
was
my kind
RoboCop,
of movies.
Was it RoboCop, maybe?
No,
no,
it wasn't
not RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, and the cops were robots.
Futuristic movies.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, that would be so scary.
I know. Wow. Wow, that's scary stuff. I know. I know. They really don't picture... don't visualize a very good future for us. None of these movies, you know?
I know, and I feel like from the movies, people are getting more and more ideas of what they can do and what. And I mean, the shooting in Santa Barbara, that kid was part of a group where they hated on women and
really
and,
was part of a group. Kind of,
yeah, it was. Oh. It was. I don't know if it was an. It was.
I think it was like a forum, an online forum or something.
But
right?
I think there's where you meet up.
Oh wow!
And hate on women and learn how to be kind of the asshole that
right.
girls, quote unquote, want.
Right. Not to be like the nice guy.
Yeah, not to be the nice guy.
Right.
And it's all these, like, I don't know, the groups and the forums and it's all freaky.
I know. But apparently, yeah, he's been planning this for a long time, you know.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as the YouTube, his parents got the email, they looked on his YouTube. The video was on there, saying what he was going to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was saying, yeah. I don't know why you girls
That's
don't
true,
like
yeah.
me. That's
true, yeah. My son was asking me yesterday. He says, you're the only person who hasn't seen that video yet. He says, don't you want to see it? I said, yeah, I totally didn't think it would be online. You know?
Yeah.
But I'll,
I don't know if it's still, I'm sure it's still there, but yeah. But it's all on the news. I saw it on the news. I think it was yesterday I saw it on the news. But he's just such... It's sad.
Yeah,
it's really
sad for everyone.
Yeah,
you know, he was probably mentally ill, and
yeah. Oh yeah, he's been seeing
help.
Someone since he was 9 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So apparently that didn't work.
No.
Wow.
Which doesn't give much hope for.
I know for other kids, but that's one case. You know,
yeah.
I mean, many people do get help, mm-hmm. and fortunately, yeah, because it
and
can be pretty devastating.
And hopefully it doesn't lead to things like this in the future. And one person, one of the leaders of these groups or forums, he's actually English, was interviewed and said most of the times these groups help the people that are involved in them. And but obviously this time it didn't.
No, huh? It backfired.
It completely backfired.
Wow. Yeah.
I can't
imagine the pain the parents are going through.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people do a lot of crazy things.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this one up because this is like, it really boils my blood when I hear this. This pregnant Pakistani woman, and this is not the first time we've been talking about how they treat women in those countries, right?
Yeah.
A pregnant Pakistani woman stoned to death by her family members. Now, what happened was she fell in love and married the guy. And, of course, they didn't like it because they already arranged someone for her. And she was pregnant, right? But they're killing, I mean, those killings are like honor killings or what they call honor killings.
Yeah.
But just think about it. I mean, the people that you trust the most, the people that you love the most, the people that are supposed to protect
you
the most, right, look after you, are the people that are beating you to death,
yeah,
right?
It's
strangling
sickening.
You, stoning you. And this was like near the courthouse. But they're saying the amazing thing is that it was so public that everybody was able to see this and nobody did anything.
Wow.
You know? So the thing is that,
and
you
everyone
know,
just stands by and watches.
Yeah. You know, but the way to treat women, it's like possessions, you know? That's exactly what it is. You know, you're not a human being. You're my possession. I'll decide who you're going to marry, how you're going to marry, and decide the rest of your life. And women, I think it's that human instinct for freedom, you know, to be free, to feel that you're like your own person, you know, your own boss.
Completely. You're not allowed to be who you want to be and live the life that you want to live.
Right.
And it's totally a power thing.
Yeah. You know, and even when you're born and raised in these countries where this oppression is familiar to you from day one and that's the norm for you, I still think people deep inside have this craving for freedom, for independence, for...
Completely.
You know, to be left alone and to their own devices.
Sometimes they don't know any better.
Right. Exactly. Many of them don't. And that's what happens, you know. I mean, that's how these people think. They're thinking they're doing the right thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's really sad.
Yeah. So they do this. I mean, and people just support this and it keeps on happening, you know.
And that's the thing, because nothing's done about it.
Right.
Nothing is changing.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's the same attitude, the same type of thinking that got those girls kidnapped in Nigeria. Yeah. You know, that it's the same thinking that gets all these people stoned and murdered mm-hmm. and hanged and stuff like this just because they try to be a little independent.
Yeah.
You know, a little their own people.
And try and then trying to say, you're not independent, you're not strong, you're not powerful.
Right.
We're the people who, we own you.
Exactly, kind of, we own you.
Owning, yeah.
We'll tell you what you can do, what you can't do. That's slavery. Mm-hmm. You know, that's slavery. So, but
it's sad that still now in the 21st century that still happens.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's like millions of women. It's not just one country, mm-hmm. you know. It's like, you know, in Asia, in Africa, you know, mainly that's where this happens, where you have Muslim countries that are really oppressive. So
it's terrible. Yeah,
I know. Mm-hmm. So there's an interesting article here about this woman who's making a documentary on asexual people. Those are people that don't want to have sex. And so she decided to cover that because not many people talk about it or even bring it up, you know. So it's very interesting to read because these people are like, they're not necessarily avoiding romance. I mean, in fact, some of them are married because they want to have romance. They just don't want to have sex. So the thing is that it makes it hard because you can't really be in a relationship with someone without having sex,
you know? You're not sexually attracted to somebody.
Right.
Then,
and I don't think it's the attraction, though, but it's just maybe they're afraid. I don't know. That's why I want to watch this, you know? But so I don't know. I'm sure they have like different reasons why mm-hmm. it's like that. You know, maybe they're wired that way from childhood and stuff. I don't know.
Something's happened earlier on.
Right. But to find a partner that is going to be okay with not having sex is hard.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why they can't find anybody. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. But they're saying that, The interesting thing is they're saying most people would never know they were asexual because or by looking at them, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, how would you know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Because.
Yeah. They say they look normal, act normal, which is what you'd expect, you know. And this is. Yeah.
But this they
is,
still want the love and. The attention.
Yeah, I guess they do want the connection, you know. So some people are asking, am I gay? Maybe something's wrong with me and stuff like that. But I can't imagine. That would be like the worst thing, you know, to not be interested in sex, you know. Because, I mean, it's the best thing that was given to us and it's free, you know. You don't have to
buy it.
Exactly. You don't have to buy it. So it's, and for self-expression, for connecting with people and stuff. So to miss out on all that, that's very sad, you know.
It is.
I really feel bad for these people.
There's a lot. I mean, there's so many illnesses and things that we don't know about that
are
out there and happening and people are suffering. And it's sad because there's just not an awareness. And I think that's a great thing to try and bring awareness to because people go through that.
Right.
And probably some people that don't realize that they are asexual.
Right.
And they're going through something, exactly like you said, am I gay?
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah, like I'm not attracted sexually or things like that. Wow. I wonder, you know, I mean, I wonder about these people, whether it's like wired into them or if it's some experiences from childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, who knows?
I feel like it has to be something somewhere that's triggered an emotion that makes them not connected in that way.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I saw an article yesterday because I was thinking about past lives just then.
Uh-huh.
Not that it kind of could be connected, something in your past life that if you believe in that. But there's a culture that believes in purely in your past life. And as soon as you're born, you are scanned to see if you have any birthmarks or any birthmark on you that could be from a past life. And there was this one little boy and he had a huge scar on the back of his head or a huge birthmark. They didn't call it a scar, they called it a birthmark. And as soon as you're able to talk, when you have a birthmark, they want to know about, they want to try and drag this out of you, pull it out of you, what happened, because it's something that you were killed in a past life.
Right.
And this kid said he was, after he thought about it, remembered, whatever, he was killed with an axe.
Wow.
One day he met this man and he knew his name. And he said, "You killed me in a past life," and said the what happened, took the police to where the body, his body was buried. There was a child that was buried there with a scar, with a lesion in the same place.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And how true this story is, I don't know. I was read it because I always wonder when these articles come out that if they're true. Because you can publish an article anywhere, pretty much. And
somehow,
if it's that interesting, it'll get on some form of social media. But I was like, wow, what if that is... That's crazy that if it's true, that he took... this little kid took the authorities to where he was buried. Yeah. He had a lesion on the back of his head because it was his skull because he'd been buried for a long time. And this was in his past life that he was killed.
Wow.
I guess you don't believe it from that laugh.
No, I don't know. No, I mean, what I'm saying is it's quite a story.
Right.
And but like you said, you know, you have to really verify where you read that. You know?
Exactly.
And even if you read it in a big publication, I don't know. Because I think from what I understand about past lives is that usually you're somebody totally different, you know?
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He was someone totally different.
Right. But you know, but find
the souls are still connected. That's the whole idea with like past life and spirituality, that your souls are connected,
right?
And the soul kind of carries on, and you're on a journey to kind of the same place, but it's kind of like you get on a train and then a bus, the train's one life, the bus is one life, walking's one life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And yeah.
Wow. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
All kinds of things happen. You know, there's 7 billion people in the world.
I know.
I'm sure anything possible that you can imagine has happened, you know?
It's very true.
Wow. And then finally, I wanted to bring up this thing is, I guess, this baby was kidnapped from the hospital, a newborn, 16-hour-old boy. And... I guess was kidnapped out of the hospital, you know? And there was a woman in a nurse's uniform. She walked into the maternity ward and left in a red car.
And
disappeared. So what they did is, I guess the police went to the to Facebook and stuff and started making this like viral.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody found the baby.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess the neighbor or a neighbor of that woman found her. Or recognize maybe the car or something, yeah.
And I feel like these people aren't smart enough.
No.
You know, you're not smart enough to do that.
Yeah.
Like, come on. If you're going to think about this and do it, like, think about it a bit more smartly.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she didn't think of it more smart, but you're going to get caught.
Right.
That's what I don't understand in these situations. Like, people, you're going to get caught whether you do, whether you rob a bank, commit a murder, like, you're going
to
get caught.
But that's the thing is you have to wonder. I mean, they must be crazy to think it's going to work. So, of course, they're not going to think about beyond that.
How traumatizing for the real mother.
Yeah. I know.
In the hospital, just had a newborn.
I know, and it's gone.
The place you think that you're safe, and then your baby gets stolen. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
That's crazy.
The things that happen.
Right?
I know. You got to watch your kids.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that's the show for today. On that note.
Watch your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Know what they are and do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy camper today. I went to lunch with my son yesterday. And,
nice.
Yeah. So we sort of caught up on everything.
Because
I've been really irritated with them lately doing things without telling me anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He went up to San Francisco with his friends. Didn't even tell me. You know, I had to find out on Facebook. And then when I ask him about it, he says, "Well, you read it in Facebook." I'm like, "That's not the way I want to find out about your life." You know, what is this?
Definitely.
So we went to lunch yesterday and everything's cool. So, I mean, I really love him, you know, and my daughter too, because, you know, I mean, when they were young, they would cling to me. They would never even let go.
Yeah.
You know, and I miss that.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss that. Aww. All right, everybody. I hope you're doing better with your kids until they get into that age. All right, Charlotte. So I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
See you in the morning.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.